You're listening to a Here's Hope America Hope Chest audio sermon. This is part one of a message entitled, The Church of the 21st Century, and is taken from the Bible passage 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. The sermon was given on January the 24th, 2016, at the Mountain Grove First Baptist Church in Mountain Grove, Missouri. The speaker is Pastor Jay Scribner, the Executive Director of Here's Hope America.
Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, I apologize that we don't have a listening sheet in your bulletin, but take your bulletin somewhere or just find a piece of paper or something you can take some notes on. I want to share five things with you today. The title of the message is The Church of the 21st Century. The Church of the 21st Century. And we're going to begin with verse 14 today. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And so again, let me encourage you to get a pen or pencil and find some type of place where you can jot down this outline so that God can continue to use this even later after today to speak to you. Now, I heard about a report of a tornado that went through a small town in West Texas a number of years ago. And the newspaper report, in reporting about that tornado that blew through that town, the newspaper had a sentence in it that almost everyone overlooked and understood it as being non-offensive, and it was not intended to be offensive. The reporter certainly meant no harm and certainly meant no offense in this report and in that sentence, but it was a very revealing sentence. And here it is. The tornado that destroyed the local church did little real damage to the community. Think about it. Let me ask this. What if a tornado blew through Mountain Grove and destroyed First Baptist, just destroy this building? How would the report read? Now, this is really sort of a tragic indictment when it says the tornado that destroyed the local church did little real damage to the community. Wow. Well, let me read this to you. The title of the message is The Church of the 21st Century. And as we think about, you know, what if First Baptist Church of Mountain Grove didn't exist? What if this church were not here? Then what kind of impact would that make to the community? We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's begin with verse 14. And this entire book is sort of a manual for church operations. And there's just so much in this book of 2 Corinthians. And we're just lifting a little segment out of the sixth chapter here. So let's begin with verse 14, where it says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Now, I realize that we usually use that phrase or this verse when we're talking about marriages and we're talking about married couples, or when we're talking about couples maybe that are engaged, and we might say to them, now don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And not that you can't apply it to that, you certainly can, and you can apply it to a lot of different relationships in life. But this happens to be part of this church operations manual. So understand that this phrase here is part of this church operations manual. So verse 14, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believes with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Well, let me pose this question as we walk through these five things. So keep your Bibles handy and just keep them open. And let me just share these five things with you. What should be the makeup then of the church today? What should be the makeup of the church today? Now, we're in the 21st century. And when I retired from First Baptist Branson in 2005... I was then, and I still am, about as dumb as a box of rocks from a technology standpoint. I had all four of my secretaries come into my office when I announced my retirement, and they said to me, "Well, Jay, we just want you to know that before you leave," I gave them a 5 months notice. I'd been there 28 years, and they said, "We want you to know that we are committed that before you leave here, we're going to do our very, very best." And I mean, they were serious as a heart attack. They said, "We're going to do our very, very best to get you into the 20th century." And I said, "Wow. Wow, ladies. Thank you. But now you mean the 21st century, don't you?" And they said, "No, no. We're just going to take one century at a time." So, well, we're in the 21st century. That finally dawned on me sometime within the last few years. We're in the 21st century. So my question to you is this: what should be the makeup of this church? What should be the makeup of the church today, of the church of the 21st century? Well, he tells us in these few verses, we're going to lift these five things out, and you'll have a good understanding of what the church of the 21st century should be like. And if in fact we are like this, then I can guarantee you, if a tornado blows through town and destroys the local church, there wouldn't be a reporter that would say, "Did very little damage to the community." Okay, so here they are. Number one. The makeup of the church today. Number one, people who have a conversion. People who have a conversion. And that's what he says there in verse 14. He says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And so they're just two kinds of folk in the crowd today. We're either believers or unbelievers. That's it. It's like when you go to a fine restaurant and they say to you, smoking or non-smoking. But you know what? It's really the same way about church, folks. Where are you going to spend eternity? Smoking or non-smoking? I mean, that's really what it boils down to. Isn't that right? I mean, you're either a believer or you're an unbeliever. And now keep in mind that this book here of 2 Corinthians is an operations manual for the church. And so the church is to be a body of believers. And Paul says, so don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now again, as I said earlier, that can be applied in a lot of different relationships, but just funnel it down to where we are. We're in the church, and so consequently, Paul says, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Now, I don't mind telling you, and I'm glad I'm not the one that's got to do the calculations, and I've heard people like Billy Graham and others say that they believe that within the church today, that 50% of the people, and I've heard different figures, but almost all of them are at least 50% of people like Billy Graham saying 50% of the makeup of today's churches are non-believers. Well, folks, what a tragic indictment here. What a tragedy. So, man, before I go any further, if there was a way for me to sit down with you and just get face to face and get in your face and let you get in my face, and I just ask you, are you a believer? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Have you been converted? What's the church of the 21st century? What's the makeup of that? People who have a conversion. Now, it's pretty simple. I used to be on my way to hell. I used to be living my own life. I used to be going my own way. I used to be doing my own thing. I used to be living for me. But there was a day many years ago that I had a conversion. I got converted. I got changed. I got turned around. And now I'm not on my way to hell. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm attempting not to live for me. I'm attempting to live for Jesus Christ. Ever since I had that conversion. Ever since I got born again. Ever since I became a follower of Jesus Christ, ever since I became a Christian. So my question to you is, you've been on that road? What road are you on? Are you going this way because you've never had a conversion? Or have you had a conversion and now you're going God's way? Everybody with me? I'm not sure I can put it any simpler, to be honest with you. Have you been born again? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you, in fact, a born-again follower of Jesus Christ? Are you a believer? Because Paul says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Okay, everybody with me on point number one? This yes, this no. Okay, all right. Here's number two. Number two. We're talking about the makeup of the church today. People who have a conversion. Number two, people who have a conviction. People who have a conviction. Now, wow, you talk about getting in your face. That's what Paul does here. And he gives us five. He poses five pertinent, personal, prying and pointed questions to us. And so let's look at these. He says, and so what? Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now look at this. Here's the first question. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? So the first word there is the word fellowship. And he says, what fellowship Here's the definition of fellowship. Fellowship is transparent acceptance. Now, I know I'm in a Baptist church, and so, okay, listen. When I say the word fellowship in just a moment, I want you to blurt out the first word that comes to your mind when I say fellowship. Okay, you ready? Fellowship. I knew it was a Baptist church. Food. Ain't nothing wrong with that deal. I'm for it. But that ain't what it means. Fellowship means transparent acceptance. And you know, the fact of the matter is, if we had more biblical fellowship within our churches today, we wouldn't have a bunch of the problems that we have in churches today. Transparent, that means I can get honest with you. Most of us don't do that. When we walk in on Sunday morning, we got on our Sunday morning mask. But fellowship, true fellowship in the Lord, says that I can get honest with you, transparent acceptance. Woo. Even though I get honest with you, and you really get down to the nitty-gritty of knowing who I am and what I am, you come away saying stuff like this: I love you anyway. Isn't that what God does for us? There isn't anything He doesn't know about us. And you know what? He says, I love you anyway. Enough to die for you. But now look what he says. This is a pointed question. What fellowship, this acceptance, has righteousness with unrighteousness? Well, duh. That's like water and oil. It just doesn't mix. And then here's the next question. He says, what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness? Well, there is none. There's no commonality with light and dark. I mean, just go into a room that's dark and turn on the light. And then you sort of say, where'd the dark go? I came in here because I want to hang out in the dark. Well, if you want to hang out in the dark, don't turn on the light, because they got nothing in common. There's just no communion there. And then here's the next one. He says, verse 15, and what concord, and that word concord means harmony or symphony. Harmony or symphony. Have you ever been to a symphony? My wife's a music major, and she was required to go to a whole lot of concerts and symphonies when she was in college, and we were married at that time, so guess who else was required to go to a whole lot of and you sit there at the beginning of those concerts. You ever heard a symphony warming up? It's anything but warm, let me tell you. Whoa, I'm thinking, what is going on? I got to sit through this? No. When the conductor stood up and finally got them in symphonic order, whoa, that came out phenomenally well. And he says here, what concord or what kind of symphony has Christ with false gods, with Belial? There's just nothing that's going to make good, sweet music with that, folks. And that's what he says. He says, what kind of harmony are you going to have when you try to put Christ and some god of this world together? It's not going to happen. I don't care what kind of conductor you got. He's not going to make sweet music with that. That's the bottom line. All right, now here's the fourth question. And we're still in verse 15. He says, and what part has the believer with an infidel? What part has the believer with an infidel? Now you take the Islamic movement and ISIS today, who is hell-bent literally on destroying the infidel. I mean, that's the picture right there, my friend. A false god, follower of a false god, who is calling those of us who are following the true God, and they're calling us the infidel. Well, it ought to be pretty clear that what kind of part are we going to have together? None. And by the way, just a little parenthesis, my friend. Allah, the God of Islam, is not the same God as Jehovah of the Bible. Allah is a false God. And Jehovah, the God of the Bible, is the one and only true God. The Quran is not equivalent to the Bible. Mark that down. End of parenthesis, my friend. So he says, what part has he that believes with an infidel? And then go on to verse 16. He says, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? And then he goes ahead and say, for you are the temple of the living God. And so he says, there's just no agreement with that. You're not on the same program. If you're the temple of the living God, then there's just going to be no agreement, my friend, with idols. Just so clear. I tell you what. So we're talking about people who have a conviction. Now, let me encourage you sometime this week, go back and read through those five pointed questions. I mean to tell you, these are in your face. We're talking about what should be the makeup of the church today. And what we need to do is to go through those five questions and ask ourselves, where am I there? Where do I fit into that category? And folks, there are no gray areas with that. Too many times within the church today, we think it's fine to have gray areas. Not so. Not so. Well, Let me just illustrate this before I go to point number three, and that's this. Now, I like boating. My wife and I like boating. We've had boats for a long time. Long time. The very first boat we had was a little old flat bottom John boat, and I don't know, it had a 15 horse or maybe a 25. I don't know if it was that big, but and we used to take that frequently to Table Rock Lake, which was probably not that smart, but I've never been accused of being smart, to be honest with you. And we'd take that to Table Rock Lake, that little old boat, and we'd launch it and go fishing and just boat around the lake. And one day we were anxious to get out to Table Rock, and we launched that little John boat and got her started and took off from the dock area, the launch area, and I don't know, probably 100 yards out, maybe a little more, I don't know. Kay is sitting in the front of that boat, and she goes, did you remember to put the plug in the boat? I'll be real honest with you. I wish she had have asked me that question about 100 yards prior. Let me give you just a little marine lesson. Might come in handy. Could be very beneficial for you. You ready? Boat in the water is fine. Water in the boat is not fine. Let's go over this because it could be beneficial. You ready? Boat in the water is fine. Water in the boat, not fine. Got that? Here's something else. Church in the world is fine. World in the church, not fine. Let's go over that. Church in the world is fine. World in the church, not fine. That's what he's saying with these five questions. It is not fine for you to let the world get into the church. That's why he's in your face with these five questions. It ain't okay for the world to get into the church. But I'm telling you, my friend, somebody forgot to put the plug in. And let me tell you something else. You get enough water in a boat, it'll sink it. Oh, you get enough world in the church, it'll sink it. And I'm amazed that in the 21st century, there's a massive amount of world that's gotten into the church of God today. And that's a tragic thing. No wonder the world... is not attracted to the church, because the fact of the matter is, when the world visits with church folk, a whole lot of difference. And you get enough world in the church, my friend, it'll sink the old ship of Zion. So I need to go through these questions, and I need to ask myself, where am I? Which side am I on? Because he's pretty clear cut with all five of them. What kind of righteousness? What kind of unrighteousness? Let's just look at these. Let's just look at these five questions. You know what? I tell you what I'm going to do. I want to look at this in detail here, and then we're going to wrap it up. We're scheduled to be back here next Sunday for point number three. Right with me. I got five things I want to share with you here. But I'm going to wrap it up real quickly. If you're okay with it. I think it's sort of funny when preachers say that. Most preachers I know, including me, I'm going to do it anyway. Okay? We're going to cut it off here. I'll be back next week, the Lord willing, and we'll pick it up at point number three, if you're okay with it. Okay, here's the deal. Now, let me just wrap this up, and let me encourage you this week, spend time with these five questions. Just get in front of your spiritual mirror and spend time with these five questions. He says, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And we've let too much unrighteousness get in the church. And he says, and what communion has light with darkness? Listen, we're to be light, and we're children of the light, so we're to walk in the light. And why is it that some of us choose to hang out in the dark? Why is it that some of us choose to hang out in the shadows? Now, there are no gray areas in the Christian life. It's just we try to make them gray. We try to make them gray. And he says, and what concord or symphony has Christ with false gods? And what part has he that believes with an infidel, and what part, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? And you are the temple of the living God. And so what do I have in my life? What do I have in my life that's not godly and not righteous and not holy? What is it that God's trying to say to me? Hey, this ain't going to work. It's going to sink the ship. You can't stay on that big lake without a plug in it. It won't take long to get too much water in that thing, and you'll sink. And I'm talking about attitudes. I'm talking about envy. I'm talking about jealousy. I'm talking about backbiting. I'm talking about strife. I'm talking about the pornography you're into. I'm talking about drinking, alcohol. I'm talking about drugs. I'm talking about the stuff you're watching on television. Oh my. Oh my. Do you know they did a survey? They did a survey one time, and they found out that the average American home has 2.5 televisions. And the average American home has 2 bathrooms. My conclusion is that there's more refuse coming in than there's going out. I can explain that better to you later if you want me to. Just corner me out in the hall. So I'm talking about, I could figure that out pretty quickly. If I came to your house and I saw what kind of books you got, saw what kind of magazines are laying around, if I got on your computer and you gave me the password and I could see where you've been, if I opened up your refrigerator and see what's in there. If I could zero in with your husband or zero in with your wife and they get honest with me and find out how you are really and not just how you are at church. And some of the backbiting and stuff that we bring with us to church. Listen, it'll sink the ship. Everybody with me? God hasn't called us to be ungodly, unrighteous, unholy. Well, we're talking about the makeup of the 21st century church. I got some more stuff to share with you. Will you do your best to come back next Sunday? I will. We'll do our best to be here next Sunday. Appreciate the invitation. And spend time reading this passage this week, would you? And especially zero in with those five questions. But let's just get gut level honest with God. That's the deal. That's the deal. Well, thanks for letting me slice this off. Let me pray with you. Father, I want to be a part of that 21st century church. The kind of person I need to be. And Lord, I just pray that your Spirit would bring the conviction that we need, each of us needs. And even as a church, Father, there's just so much of the world that gets into our churches today. And I just pray that you'd bail it out. I pray that you'd bail the worldly water out of our church for us to be the kind of church that we need to be and make the impact that we need to make in our community. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Hope Chest audio sermon presentation. We invite you to visit our website at www.hereshopeamerica.com for additional audio and video presentations and to contact us if we can be of help to you. We would gladly welcome your partnership with this ministry, as well as welcoming your prayers and the opportunity to pray for you. May God bless you is our prayer. For Here's Hope America, my name is Richard Clare, reminding you, hope has a name, Jesus.